Hi guys, and welcome to a video and a podcast I'm doing here today. Just going to do some trade analysis actually on a trade I placed yesterday, and one that I tipped actually in the forum. So obviously there's accountability here with this trade, in terms of I've evidenced the pick, I've put it out on the forum as you can see here. I'll go into it further, but this is these two posts here are the key ones. I think the key is that to analyze these trades and see why they either went well or didn't go well is so key when trading. I'm going to show you how I do it and kind of give my assessment of a trade that I did. Hopefully that'll help you in your trading. Let's go. All right, so the trade was, I had a very small back of Spurs at 3.5 to qualify in the Champions League semi-final against Ajax. They were 1-0 down from the first leg when they played at home, so they had a big task in front of them. Obviously going to Ajax, not going to be easy, especially with a one goal deficit. I think the stats were only one team in the 17 had actually qualified from that position, so it would have been really easy to think actually laying Spurs in this situation is the value. However, on further analysis, I found that it was actually the other way around. And firstly, I'll go into my reasons why. So there's a few factors at play here that I think can negate that 1 in 17 chance, and the reason why I thought 3.5 was actually an excellent price, although they still had obviously work to do. But of course they had work to do. You don't get odds of 3.5 willy-nilly. You know, if Spurs were 1-0 up, they'd be heavy odds on, or they'd be, you know, fairly strong odds on. So there's a reason for the price, and that's key here as well. You know, we're not saying every time we back a 3.5, 4.0 shot that we think it's absolutely going to win. What we're saying is we're trying to find value. Should the price be shorter? And I believed it should, and I said here I would have it closer to 3.0 personally, as it has 33% chance of happening in my opinion. So I'm not even saying it's the most likely thing to happen. What I'm saying is there is more chance of it happening in my opinion than what the market is telling me, therefore I should make this trade, because if I do this over the course of thousands of trades, I'm going to make good profit in the long term. So that's the key. If you can get that value, that's essentially your edge. You're pushing a price that's bigger than it should be. And yes, it might not win every time. It certainly won't win every time. But if you can beat the amount of times it needs to win, so if you can get it to win 33% of the time in this spot because of the odds, you'll make money. If any of that's at all confusing, you don't quite understand it, I know sometimes it can be a bit to get your head around, especially if you're new to trading. Just go back, look at this, look at my reasoning, and you'll understand why I think it's value. One of the big things in trading is to be able to learn to price things up yourself. So, you know, when you see an event, try and think, what should the odds be? Then look at the market and see what the odds are. And if your two conclusions are quite far apart, you think, actually, there's got to be some value here because I believe this price is wrong. Therefore, I'm going to take advantage of that. And that's how you can make money. You know, obviously, I've been doing it for a long time and doing well from it. And, you know, you just have to ride the variance. You're going to get situations where you're backing things at 3.5, where you do get four or five losses in a row. You know, and that's fine. That's going to happen. You know, and you've got to be able to just ride that, knowing that long term you'll also get good winning streaks and you'll also make money in the long run if you are able to price these things correctly and find where the market has it slightly wrong. So anyway, I've digressed a little bit there, but one of the keys here, as I said, was trying to find why does this 3.5 become value when I'm saying there's a 33% chance of it happening. Okay, so I think the odds should be 3.0. However, history is telling us 1 in 17 has made it through from this position, right? So that's around 5-6% chance, okay, which is obviously a lot less than the 33% chance I'm giving. So why have I hyped up that percentage? What makes me believe that Spurs had a chance to get through here? A much bigger chance than the market suggests, and even the stats of history suggest. Well, there's a few factors at play. So I'll start with Ajax. Now Ajax, this was kind of their once in a lifetime chance. A lot of these players are going to move next season. They kind of remind me a bit of that Monaco team, if you remember from a few years ago, who had just incredible players, you know, Mbappe and a few others. And wow, they got to the semi-finals as well. But they did end up falling short. Now, why is this? I think sometimes when you get to this stage, the experience of playing at a higher level for longer can help. So one of the things working against Ajax was the fact that Tottenham play in the Premier League, okay? Arguably the best league in the world. If you're looking at the Champions League and Europe this year, you're probably going to get potentially two English finals. You've definitely got one in the Champions League anyway, and there's a good chance of Chelsea-Arsenal in the final. Obviously it might not happen, they still have to play tonight. But still, it just shows the strength of the English Premier League. Tottenham are used to these kinds of matches where they'll go to tough places. They might not have the ball all the time. And they're going to have to be, when they get their chances, they're going to have to take them. You know, they're going to have to be clinical. And they're going to have to be able to rise to the occasion. So in that sense, I believe that Tottenham had a lot more experience in terms of being able to rise to a big occasion. A lot of these Ajax players are very young as well. Now, Tottenham's side isn't that young. They've got a lot of players, obviously, in their mid to late 20s. Even players like Trippier, who've only really come onto the scene in the last couple of years, he's 28. You know, so Dele Alli's been around for years now, still young. And Son, a lot of these players, you know, really coming into their kind of their prime of their careers. Well, the Ajax players are only just getting started. And what they're doing is incredible. But you do kind of feel that they haven't really been put under a test in terms of being the favourite, in terms of how will they handle that. And last night, they were the favourite for the first time, really, in the knockout stages. They were expected. I mean, you can say, yes, they were expected to go through because, you know, look at the market, look at the way people are talking. Anyone with a 1-0 lead going into their own home leg is going to feel like they should be expected to go through. So the question was, how would they respond to this new pressure of being the favourites? And I got the feeling that they would struggle because they weren't used to it. You know, it was great with Real and Juventus because they were pretty much behind the whole time until near the end of it when they got ahead, and they managed to stay ahead because obviously they've got incredible talent in the back, you know. So how are they going to cope with that? Second thing is Ajax's home form in the Champions League wasn't anything particularly to write home about. So I know that they didn't win against Real or Juventus at home. In fact, I'm pretty sure they lost to Real. I think it was 2-1, I can't remember exactly, but I know that the home form wasn't that strong. What they'd done was do well away from home, okay? So you factor that in and go, okay. But they only got one goal at Tottenham, and although that's a great advantage to have because Tottenham didn't score at all, well, away goals could be a factor here. You know, it's Ajax. This is going to be a lively game potentially. There could be a lot of goals. Tottenham are pretty free-flowing in that respect. I mean, look at their game against Man City in the previous round when they went away and they lost 4-3. I mean, crazy result, right? So there's always a potential for goals. There's always a potential for Tottenham to score. So there really was an away goals danger here for Ajax, even though they were 1-0 up. They couldn't feel too comfortable in terms of that one away goal. Not really sure that was going to make a hell of a lot of difference in terms of, you know, they're not really going to go through on away goals here, obviously, because Tottenham needed to score anyway. So another factor that kind of made me think, oh, hang on a second, Ajax, not too sure here. Okay, let's move on to another fact. I mean, like I say, there's a few factors at work. I'm probably saying the word factor too much here. But yeah, Tottenham. So let's go on to Tottenham. They played at home, right? But I use that term lightly because they've not played at that ground much recently. You know, White Hart Lane is obviously newly, you know, basically newly built. And they played at Wembley and they switched to their new home, which obviously, you know, makes sense. But in terms of playing, they got pretty comfortable at Wembley. And, you know, it is different. And sometimes some of these teams who haven't always achieved what they should, like Tottenham, who've often got far and then faltered at the last hurdle. They're doing an incredible job. They've done an incredible job getting to that last hurdle, but they've never quite been able to get over it under Pochettino. And sometimes that pressure can actually be worse at home. So, you know, there was always the danger that Tottenham didn't play that well at home and surely could play better away. Maybe they play freer. You know that they need to go for a goal, so they're not going to mess about too much and try and protect things. They're just going to go for it, and you know, that might be to their benefit, because Ajax aren't going to love a team that just attacks them the whole time. So yeah, they're kind of the main factors that got me in there. You also have to look at Tottenham's journey in the Champions League, where after three games, I think they had a point, right? And Inter really should have gone through. It should have been Barcelona and Inter from that group. Barcelona played a weakened team against Tottenham, and Tottenham were able to grab something from the game. Let's face it, if Barcelona played their first 11, could have been a very different story in that game at home, and Tottenham would have been out. So, you know, it's not a case of looking at, oh, you know, was it their destiny to get this far and stuff like that. Stuff like that doesn't exist. For me, as a trader, you've got to just look at it statistically. But you've also got to look at, okay, Tottenham have improved. Tottenham, and bear in mind as well, here's another factor. Tottenham went to Man City and scored three goals. So who the hell's to say they can't score three or four at Ajax? Yes, they're going to concede. We can pretty much guarantee that, because Ajax are clinical, they're really good when they get the chance, they quite like the counter-attacking football, and they play really slick passing football, and obviously Spurs conceded four at Man City. So, you know, one thing you always felt in this one was that there was goals, and it was just a case of how would the game flow. So anyway, that's why I thought, do you know what, Spurs here, they're the better team on paper. You know, they've got the more experienced players. They've got the better players overall. Okay, Ajax have two or three really potential world-class stars. But, you know, Tottenham have borderline world-class players who've been doing it week in, week out for five, six, seven years, some of them. So when you look at it like that, you'd say, okay. Premier League, obviously considered much stronger than the Dutch League. And I didn't realise until this week that actually the Dutch league, I think I'm right in saying they're level. So Ajax and PSV at the moment are level on points. So it's not as if Ajax have been running away with it, and this once in a lifetime generation has just been, you know, flooring everyone left, right, and centre. Yes, they've been playing great football. Yes, they've done really well to get to Champions League semi final. But there wasn't a ton of evidence supporting the fact that they were going to just cruise to the final. So let's get to the game, because obviously it happened last night. So if you're watching this, obviously in the future, maybe even a couple of years down the line, you'll remember the game, because it was so dramatic. This is kind of why I'm doing this video, because I think some trade analysis just becomes so irrelevant after a year or two, but this actually will never really become relevant. So anyway, the tie started. Ajax went 1-0 up after 4 minutes. Okay, at that point you're thinking, well, to be honest, I was thinking, doesn't make a ton of difference to my trade, right? I wasn't hoping that Tottenham were going to get a 1-0 result and get to extra time. I knew that Tottenham realistically needed two goals. So although obviously Ajax taking the lead wasn't great, it still felt like it doesn't make a ton of difference. You know, Spurs have just got to try and stay tight and get a couple of goals. So at that point, there's no way I'm trading out there. It was a small stake to begin with. So that's another clear thing. I think sometimes stake size can make a big difference in determining what you're going to do moving forward. And one of the reasons I like to use small stakes in these positions is that unless everything is pointing towards it, I'm not going to put a big stake on. So the thing that did put me off slightly was the 1-17 stat that I mentioned. And I couldn't completely ignore that. You know, I'm essentially mainly a statistical trader. So, of course, I use my own judgment and knowledge on top of that. But with a statistical foundation, with one red flag, it goes, okay, there's one red flag. I've mentioned about 5 or 6 green flags. So the one red flag with all the green flags, it made it a trade, but not a full, you know, big money trade here. It was going to be a small trade. And so in that position, the other good thing is in that position, I was either able to top up at this point when Ajax took the lead or hold my position. I didn't need to sweat it. It wasn't going to be a massive loss anyway. And like I say, I didn't really believe that that first goal made a ton of difference. Spurs needed 2 goals, as far as I was concerned. You know, so Ajax, I didn't see Spurs keeping Ajax out for the 90 minutes anyway. If you looked at all the stats, Ajax score at home pretty much all the time. So you knew the goal was coming. The real one was, okay, Spurs need to try and score next. Now, obviously Son hit the post, so it's been unlucky that Spurs didn't score next. But actually, just before half time, Ajax went and doubled their lead. Now at this point, you are thinking, okay, this isn't going to be my trade. This isn't going to be my night. Ajax hadn't really done a ton. They started well, but after that, Tottenham really were coming onto them. And at that point, it was kind of a smash and grab goal, the second goal. If you watched, an incredible move. But it didn't come on after any sustained pressure from Ajax. So it was kind of one of those where you just go, just had a bad beat here. You know, I think all we really needed was a goal or two from Tottenham, but it doesn't look like it's going to go our way here. However, at this point, because Ajax had a 3-goal lead in the tie, the trade, there's no getting out of it, right? Now this is what I like. There's absolutely no point getting out of this trade here, because it's a small stake, because you're nearly losing the full stake if you trade out at this point. You'd be absolutely crazy to get out. I see people do it and I never quite understand it, you know. So let's say you use a £50 stake, right? And then you trade in that position and you might get £4 of your money back. Well, what's the point, right? Because your trade's still live. This is the other big point. You made your trade for a reason, okay? Now try and get this across to people. Don't just dive straight out of trades when it goes against you, and don't take unfavorable losses like you would in this case, when you may as well, if you're gonna take a loss, you may as well take the full loss at this point. If you're literally looking to save about 8-9% of your stake, it's not worth it. Plus, you've got the fact that if you really did want to take a loss, all you need is a Spurs goal, and really, you're not going to be taking that much of a loss compared to what you would be. So, it's one of those situations. It's actually a really nice situation of being as a trader in terms of the decision was made for me, but also, it's one of those where I wish I'd just waited 5-6 minutes, because if I'd waited 5-6 minutes for this trade, I could have got such a good price on Tottenham going through. When Ajax took that lead, and then Tottenham hit the posts, you know, literally within 6 minutes of the game starting, you thought, hang on. Tottenham hit the post, sorry. You think, hang on, Tottenham have got a chance. You know, they're still going to go for this. And Ajax, what do you do psychologically? If you've watched a lot of football, what do football teams do with a 2-goal lead? They tend to sit off a bit, especially in a massive cup game like this, right? I'll give you an example. Imagine it's the World Cup final, England go 2-0 up, right? England are going to naturally... the manager might say, don't, sit back, don't stand off. But psychologically, players just do it. It doesn't seem to matter who the manager is. I watch Norwich a lot, obviously they're my team, watch them this season, and we would do that. We'd get into a leading position and psychologically we'd kind of let teams come onto us a bit and they'd get back into the game a lot of the time. So, and I know that Farker wouldn't have said go and do that, he's not that type of manager, but it's just almost like psychologically players cannot help themselves from doing that. So it's like I say, you're looking at a situation here where you don't want to take the loss. There's just no point. You're looking at a 95% loss or whatever. You might as well just stick it out and see what happens, right? Again, stake size help, because it was a small stake, I was able to do that. With a massive stake, you really are staring down the barrel at this point. Now, half time comes. Second half, Spurs just go for it, right? And Ajax seem quite happy to just let Spurs have a go, because, hey, they've got a 3-goal cushion here. So why not? You know, you can understand why it happens. Anyway, obviously Spurs got back into it, scored the first goal. Quickly after that, again, another one where you think after that first goal, could you have got some of your money back on the trade? Well, why would you? There was so much of the game left at that point. A couple of minutes later, Spurs score again. Now, this is the perfect thing, because you've got a situation here where you're now going, okay, I can take a profit now. So when Spurs got it back to 2-2, right, even though essentially Spurs still needed to score and you're kind of in a similar situation to the one you're in at the start of the game, Spurs were trading around 2.8, you know, so the odds had come in from 3.5 to 2.8. Now, if this was a bigger stake, that's the moment I would have probably taken. I'd have at least removed liability, right? So always the thing I like to do, remove liability, still leave a nice green if it does go your way, and let the match play out. You've got over half an hour of the game left, so with injury time you've still got 35 minutes. Spurs well on top, they've just scored 2 quick goals. Ajax, I mean, if you watch the game again, so key to watch the game like I did, if you watch the game, Ajax looked absolutely on the ropes, right? So you're watching the game thinking, you know, Spurs have really got a chance here. Now, there's a danger Ajax could score again, which is why I'd like to remove liability if I had a big stake in this situation, because then you've got no risk of loss. But because it was a small stake, there was no point me removing liability. And like I say, really, in an ideal world, I would have got in when Ajax were 1-0 up, even 2-0 up, and just laid there, or taken Spurs at half time. I think the odds were about 25-1. So if you do, you know, you've only got to get, what, £4 on that? You've made £100. So it's not like you really need to even risk any serious money. I mean, you know, just have one less pint if it doesn't come off. But that's the point, isn't it? That you're in a great position here now. So it gets to 2-2. Now, as a small trade, I'm letting this run. Yeah, I could remove liability if I wanted to. Like I say, if it's a bigger stake, I definitely would have done. Anyway, game goes on. Spurs hit the bar in the 85th minute, and you're starting to think, do you know, it's not. Maybe it's not going to be. But it was a good trade. I still feel that even if this trade had lost, for the reasons I've explained, it's a good trade. A, you could have taken a green, even when it was 2-2. So even though Spurs had not got into a winning position, you still could have greened up on your trade. Well, that's fantastic news. You know, and B, it's given you a real run for your money, this one, because had Spurs just been a little bit more clinical in front of goal, they would have easily overturned this, really, and probably should have scored one or two more goals earlier in the tie just to make it a little bit easier for them. Anyway, amazingly, obviously, if you've seen the conclusion, Spurs scored pretty much the last kick of the game. It was after the 95th minute was up, which was the 5 minutes of injury time. And it's one of those where you talk about the fine margins of trading, and that's the perfect example. But so the trade won. So we pretty much won the full stake. Obviously, I greened up at that point. I'm not going to mess about with the last 2 minutes of injury time, you know, because anything can happen. And the thing is, with these 90-plus minute goals, you end up going from, you know, full stake loss to full stake win, on the back of one goal, or from a full stake win to a full stake loss. So it's a good chance to, you know, if you're in a good position, just green up, you know, don't mess about with those last couple of minutes. It's not going to cost you much of your profit, and also, you know, it does protect you. Again, if you'd backed Ajax to qualify, you could have greened up very healthily there. So it's one of those positions again where either side of the market you've taken, you could have made money. The beautiful thing about trading, right? The reason we trade, and it's just not outright gambling. But in this situation, because of the stake, because of the way the game went, actually there wasn't a position to hedge until Tottenham got that third goal, and you know, by the time the market reopened, the game was pretty much done and dusted, and there's only a few seconds left anyway. So really an incredible result there. But even if it hadn't gone the way I wanted it to, I was still happy with the trade. I was happy with the analysis. So the key things, I'll just wrap this up by saying the key things here. The pre-match analysis was solid, right? I had plenty of green flags that said this trade will work. The price looked big to me. I had one red flag that said 1 in 17. And that was the one thing that put me off. But because I had so many other positive factors saying this is a good trade, I could override that. And the price itself is something that you're not as afraid. Like with a smaller stake and a decent price, it's not so bad, you know. When you're going in with a big stake, back in something at 1.2, for example. So say you flip the market, right? Say you'd absolutely flip the market here, and you'd taken Ajax at, well, around what, 1.4, something like that. Now, that's the moment where you're going to start sweating this trade. That's the one where you go, okay, 1.4, I'm going to have a large stake on to make this worthwhile. And you might have made some money if you trade well. And obviously, with Ajax taking that couple of goal lead, you would have made some money. But I just don't like putting heavy stakes on at those kinds of odds. I think your value, essentially, is going to be much more likely to be when it's above evens. You know, when something's heavy odds on, the value might be there, but you are taking a big risk in terms of stakes. So if you've got the mental bottle for it, and you know that this price is value, then it's fine. But if you don't, and I'd suggest a lot of traders, especially newer traders, won't be able to do that, it's not worth it, because you know you're going to be sick. Especially if, as a trader, you know, you might have even got on Ajax and thinking, I mean, because somebody must be taking these prices, right? So somebody must have gone Ajax 1.04 to qualify, brilliant, or whatever, when they were 2-0 up, and lump money on, thinking it's free money. Suddenly, quickly watching as that huge stake just went to nothing. But yeah, in an ideal world, maybe I wait 5 minutes for the match. I do often say, just wait to see how a game starts. And I could have seen Ajax start hot, and then Spurs get back into it and think, do you know what, I'm going to take this. I probably would have taken it at 1-0, maybe had a slight top up, like a tiny top up at 2-0 to Ajax. You know, like I say, at those juicy odds where you're getting around 25-1. And you're looking at a monster profit. But still, 3.5 full stake profit, because of not really having to trade out until the 95th minute. It's just a brilliant result there. But the point is, the pre-match analysis, like we always say, pre-match analysis, in-game analysis is what's happening in front of us, what we expected. And then when it is, you know, that's the time to strike. So like I say, really, this could have easily been a trade where I got better odds. And if I didn't have a dog in the fight, laying Ajax at half time was such an obvious play, because you know Spurs were going to give it a good go. And the thing is, with Ajax being such a short price at that point, it doesn't matter if Ajax go and score another goal and kill the tie, or they're going to score another couple of goals. You've barely lost any money, because you know Ajax was such a short price. But in that instance where, you know, what you're watching in front of you turns into reality, and Tottenham end up scoring because of their dominance, which they did dominate that second half if you watch it, you can make huge profits. And that's the kind of thing that's going to help you if you're trading. So, and I hope this has helped you. If you've watched it or if you listened to it, just think about your trades. Think about how you're doing it. Like I say, it's all about the pre-match. It's all about watching and playing. It's all about, you know, getting out at the right time, making the right decisions. So, yeah, cheers for that, guys. And obviously, I'll be back with another video and podcast soon.